So I'm going to talk about a telepathology business model that actually, and I suppose that should be underlined with question marks surrounding it, works. And I didn't really know what Bruce had put me up to until the other night when my wife asked me what I was talking about. And I said, well, I'm talking about a telepathology business model that actually works. She paused for a moment. She said to me, well, does it? And my brain began to whir. I said, well, I think it does. And so hopefully I can drag you through really what is about 3 years' worth of work that we've done at Henry Ford to try to not just implement digital imaging, but to implement digital imaging in such a way that we can accomplish both digital imaging and telepathology. And actually, this is going to be a nice follow-up to the talk that we just heard, because I'm a firm believer that images do supplement our pathologic diagnosis, and I wonder just exactly what is telepathology, as you'll see in a moment. By the way, there is a slight typo in your program. My email address has one L and a 1 at the end. Now, this is very difficult, especially in some fonts where L's look like 1's. So there should be one L and a 1 if you want to send me an email. Please update your syllabuses. I have a couple of disclosures. First of all, I work closely with the Trestle Holding Corporation, who partially funds a fellowship that we have at Henry Ford Hospital. And the fellowship is really to implement digital imaging solutions in our system. And my fellow, Dr. Paul Tranchita, is sitting over here at the front. And if you have any questions that I'm unable to answer, he's the guy who has his feet really on the ground in this process. But what I'm going to try to do today is define telepathology with some examples of how we apply it, to talk a little bit about the state of telepathology and its relationship to digital imaging technology. I'll try to talk a little bit about cost effectiveness in biomedicine and how this applies to telepathology. Talk about the impact of implementation on telepathology. And then in the end, I'll try to present a model that we've used with some examples of how we've applied telepathology and digital imaging in our system. So that said, what is telepathology? And what are the philosophical underpinnings that I believe we need to understand to talk about an effective model? The most common definition that you see out there is that telepathology is pathologic diagnosis or review or consultation made from a site remote to the patient. And typically, I believe what we're really talking about is telemicroscopy, robotic microscopy perhaps being the best example in virtual slide technology as well. But we also use telepathology to talk about education, distant clinical conferences, both for medical students, for trainees, and for administrators. And I just wanted to take a moment to pause. How many of you out there are actually practicing pathology day-to-day in the trenches? Any pathologists out there? There's a few, not too many. And how many folks in the room are actually using digital imaging in their systems? A few less hands. And how many of those folks are using some form of what they would consider telepathology? I'm down to about 5 people in the room. So this is a fairly new application, and it's one that is not widely adopted yet, and it may be due to the business requirements that you have in your particular practices. I think that we can actually stretch our minds and take a broader view of telepathology and recognize that administrative conferences that are done remotely may represent some form of telepathology, that image-enhanced pathology reports, particularly when they're distributed electronically from point A to some distant point, have often been considered telepathology. But how about feeding the electronic medical record system? Isn't that telepathology as well? In fact, the question I ask at the bottom here is that given today's practice model in pathology, what isn't tele? I mean, all of our data is going into repositories that are accessed from folks remotely. But I think to dilute the waters and enter into our discussions on middleware, we really have a very specified view, and the literature is very specific when it talks about telepathology. And I think really what we're talking about is telemicroscopy. We're talking about remote provision of anatomic pathology services and this encompasses a wide variety of activities: diagnosis, consultation, education, quality assurance. And I believe that integrating images into pathology reports and distribute them may be considered telepathology. And I would guess there would be some level of agreement or disagreement in the audience. What is the difference between telepathology and digital imaging? Well, the way I look at it, telepathology is really based on digital imaging. And one of the first things that I realized is when we network a microscope, when we have networked digital imaging, we're actually carrying out a telepathology activity. And so the concept of networking our microscopes, attaching them to cameras, and distributing images across our healthcare systems is an activity that can be considered telepathology. So digital imaging is really the base upon which telepathology is actualized. Why are we talking about digital imaging and telepathology? And I think there are some driving forces here. First of all, pathology and laboratory medicine is an image-oriented specialty. There's a trend towards centralization, yet at the same time, we need to be connected back to our providers. The current cost requirements for providing photo documentation are part and parcel of pathology practice. We have all been documenting gross images, taking microscopic images for conferences and education, as long as we have had film-based cameras that had the capacity to do so. And you know, what's more recent is the application of these images to research-related activities where you need to correlate a research study with the tissue from which that information derived. There are also technical driving forces that have allowed us to do this. So, for example, we have low-cost, high-power computing, and I'm impressed that this continues to be an area where we're developing network capacity, storage capacity, and processing capacity. But more importantly, we've reached a point now where I believe that the quality of digital photography or digital imaging has surpassed that which we were able to carry out with silver-based systems. And so this is an opportunity that we can seize. So digital photography equals traditional photography, and there aren't too many folks that you're seeing walking around anymore with film-based cameras. Another interesting concept is the idea that virtual microscopy is starting to approach the quality of, virtual microscopy is starting to approach the quality of light-based microscopy, but there are many unique advantages to virtual microscopy. We also have the opportunity to seize analytic processing, including the ability to retrieve files, to analyze the images within files, as Dr. Belice will talk about in the next lecture, to find images based on their content. And this idea is really, I believe, only beginning to be actualized, but it will rapidly follow on whole slide imaging, and I believe we're going to see this integrated with molecular characterization based on tissue. And I guess one of the questions I have is, will radiology get there first? I believe that digital imaging is actually a core pathology service activity, and that telepathology and digital imaging are not adjunct to, but are rather a replacement for our prior processes and methods. It's actually a continuum as I look at it. Digital imaging ultimately leads to our ability to provide telepathology services. Interestingly, we have segregated the way we think about this. We tend to think about digital imaging or telepathology. I'd like to try to encourage us to think about digital imaging and telepathology. And one of the things that occurs to me is that you can do digital imaging and have no need to provide telepathology, but there is no way that you can do telepathology without first doing digital imaging, and they're ultimately connected. One is a tool. The other is a business need. And this is a slide that I realized last night. It was probably imprinted on my brain from Dr. Besich. But this just illustrates that telepathology really sits on network digital imaging and digital imaging itself. The key problems that are addressed by telepathology are what make you want to do telepathology. And the ability to make time-independent and distance-independent diagnoses, particularly in places where there are manpower shortages or in underserved areas, has driven this. If you're in an area where you have widespread geography, you very quickly start to think about, is there a way I could do this with telepathology? If you're working by yourself and you have a question, there's nothing like being able to turn to an expert halfway across the world and get help with your diagnosis. And finally, I believe that provider, student, and patient education over distance is something that really drives our need for telepathology as well. So these are some of the key problems that telepathology has arisen to address. So just a brief technical overview. I'm talking to the choir here, so I'm not going to belabor these points, but I thought it was important to at least set a baseline for what are the technical processes by which telepathology is currently accomplished. The first is store and forward technology, or static imaging, and sometimes this is referred to as asynchronous telepathology because it's independent of time. The next methodology is live dynamic telepathology, which is by definition synchronous. You must be showing something to someone who is actually there on the other end of the system. Robotic telepathology and virtual telepathology, interestingly, have the capacity to work both in a synchronous method as well as using stored forward technology. So they integrate both of the prior concepts. If we look at store and forward technology, the concept or the other term that's used for this is static imaging. And this is probably the most extensively used type of telepathology out there. Email-based image attachments, websites where you go and there's a variety of images. There are many issues with static telepathology, but I think one of the biggest ones that's been identified is the sampling error issue, which was raised by the person who just asked the last question. It's also quite labor-intensive, as has been pointed out. But interestingly, it's pretty cheap. You buy a camera, you take a picture, you attach it to your report, and you're off and you're running. Live dynamic telepathology was actually probably the oldest technology and initially was carried out using satellites for the imaging with high-quality television cameras. And this was pretty expensive. The idea is that you have a video camera on top of your microscope and you're able to show that to someone at a distance through some sort of a telecommunication technology. And currently, the satellite has really been replaced by the internet or by your network. This technology initially was very expensive, but it's decreased in price quite a bit over the years. It is synchronous, meaning that you have to drive the slide so that the person on the other end gets to see the slide, and there are some deficiencies there. And it can be pretty bandwidth intensive for high quality imaging. Robotic telepathology is really, in my mind, the combination of live dynamic telepathology with robotic control of the microscope. So rather than me having to drive the slide for you, you can drive the slide yourself. They have bandwidth requirements that are typically similar to live dynamic technology because the commands to move the slide don't really take a lot of bandwidth. It can be synchronous or asynchronous because even though you have a live dynamic image, you can capture a static field, save that, and integrate that into a report. And interestingly, I believe that the user experience with robotic telepathology becomes nearly equivalent to microscopy. And I remember one of our older pathologists, as I was a resident, who was sort of a naysayer, although not really a naysayer. He was just practical. And he said, when I can drive the slide and I can focus up and down, I'll do telepathology. Well, guess what? We're here. Virtual telepathology or virtual microscopy goes a step further. And I tend to think of this as whole slide imaging, but these terms are used somewhat synonymously. It has storage and retrieval advantages because you can store the whole slide as a file. And when you want to find that slide, you go out and you grab it just like you go and open up a Microsoft Word document or a PowerPoint file. There are larger bandwidth and storage requirements because you have very large files. And it depends on your system, but these can be gigabytes to terabytes depending on how much information you're actually going to digitize. But I think there are a lot of advantages to this. For example, image analysis, once you've captured the entire slide, is something that you can do on the fly within a slide. There's obvious abilities to integrate this with molecular technologies. Interestingly, multispectral analysis of tissue is just starting to hit the literature. And then there are concepts like digital staining, and as Dr. Belice will talk about again, the ability to retrieve slides that match the images that you're seeing in a current slide. I think the challenge for robotic, for whole slide imaging really is its expensive, large storage requirements and the fact that it's pretty data intensive. In fact, the way I look at this, it's almost like megabyte files were 10 years. You know, you open up a megabyte file and it took 30 or 40 seconds to open. Well, now you click it and 40 megs open. Right now, these virtual slides are pretty processor intensive, and therefore you're going to have a variety of requirements on your network. So this can be a more challenging implementation than either live dynamic or robotic telepathology. That said, I believe that whole slide digitization really represents a conversion of these types of processes. And this means that pathology digital imaging and telepathology almost become synonymous, because once this slide is digitized and someone can access it remotely, slide digitization and imaging becomes telepathology. And I believe this is likely to change how we practice. In search of the Holy Grail, and I really like this idea, think about the day when digital imaging surpasses what we can do with the microscope. And I'll just let that hang for a minute. And I believe we're nearly approaching this time. We're probably nearing the peak and not going down the other side of the mountain yet. But we are at a point where we can digitize whole slides, store them, and retrieve them. And again, I believe this is going to change the paradigm as to what telepathology is as opposed to what digital imaging is. So let's talk a little bit about effectiveness. Effectiveness is a subjective entity, is something I realized. What do we mean when we say something is effective? We have a better outcome than we had with previous technology. It's more efficient. It saves time and effort. We have improved quality. We've solved a problem that we had we couldn't solve before. It saves money. But interestingly, one of the things that's effective is the fact that you like to do it. And if you want to take a bunch of digital images and you have to take them one by one, you might not like that very much. We're getting to the point where taking digital images and using them for telepathology is actually fairly easy to do, as was demonstrated by our last speaker. And so it's enjoyable to boldly go where no man has gone before. But what about new technology? It's not effective when it comes out of the box. People have to adopt it. They have to use it. What about convenience? How does that impact effectiveness? You don't have to drive across town, but you could drive across town. User acceptance is critical to effectiveness. And if users don't use technology, you have no utilization, and it doesn't matter how effective it is. What level of cost overwhelms effectiveness? There is some point where things cost too much money for us to adopt them and for them to therefore become effective. When we talk about clinical trials, we talk about stent placement for narrowed coronary arteries. This is very costly. However, it is also very effective, and you only have one life. So we're willing to commit. Interestingly, and this was really not a part of the world that I venture into much, there has been a literature developed around what is cost effectiveness, and this is called cost effectiveness analysis. It was developed by the military in the early 1960s and applied to healthcare in the 70s, and it's a method to compare clinical strategies compared to current practice. What is the price of the additional outcome? And interestingly, as I read through this literature, one of the quotes that caught me is that cost-effective analysis assumes a value judgment. What do you think is a good price for the additional outcome? And different people with different shoes will have different opinions as to what is effective and how much they're willing to pay. To determine cost-effectiveness, there is actually an entity called the cost-effective ratio. It's the cost of a new strategy minus the cost of your current approach over the effectiveness of your new strategy minus the effectiveness of your current approach. And so I tried to look at this relevant to telepathology and found that it really didn't work so well. This is really designed to compare clinical strategies where life is precious and outcomes are improved outcomes are expected to cost more. How do you apply this to doing the same old job but charging people more for it? So the application to pathology service isn't really particularly palatable, but one of the things I took away from this is that cost-effectiveness ratios of $10,000 per life year are considered excellent investments in technology. And I believe that telepathology fits right into this sweet spot. So if we look at the cost-effectiveness ratio for telepathology, we're really talking about the cost of telepathology minus the cost of your current practice over the effectiveness of telepathology minus the effectiveness of your current practice. And when I looked at this, I realized, well, wait a minute, this is a challenge, particularly if telepathology isn't as effective as microscopy. You end up with a denominator that's less than one, and therefore the cost-effectiveness increases. But just to look at this with the current practice being represented by a zero, this is the cost to do nothing, versus the cost of a $50,000 telepathology implementation over the effectiveness of telepathology, which I assume to be one, minus the effectiveness of your current practice, which of course is what you're doing now, so that's a zero. So what happens if telepathology is valued to be more effective? All of a sudden, you start to hit a ratio where instead of $10,000 per 5 year, you end up with a ratio that's $5,000 per 5 year. And what happens if your practice model changes? All of a sudden, this starts to become very sweetened. And I think that we're at a point where we may be approaching denominators somewhere between 3 to 2. It depends on your philosophy and the shoes that you wear. That said, I don't think that it's debatable that we're at a point where the cost of telepathology has decreased and the effectiveness of telepathology has increased. And I try to represent this by plugging in some simple numbers where when we first implemented telepathology, let's just say it was 25% effective, whereas when we hit 2010 and we're really using virtual microscopy, we may find that telepathology is 120% effective compared to light-based microscopy. A key caveat: if you don't implement well, it doesn't matter how effective a technology is. So highly effective technology can be implemented poorly, particularly if users choose not to use your technology. So the implementation of telepathology, I believe, is key to its effectiveness. And utilization is one of the dirty little secrets of telepathology systems. Many telepathology systems have been implemented that have not been used. And there has been a lot of priming that has had to go to get folks to actually use telepathology. So I believe the outcome here is to make sure that you use telepathology to address your business needs. And if you do that, you will achieve effectiveness, particularly if you implement well. So moving on to my model. I'm not sure where I am with time. Time check? Good, perfect. To effectively implement telepathology, I think the first thing you need to do is to know your business. You have to understand what the true costs of your practice are and what you plan to support through telepathology. It also helps to understand what you're currently paying to do activities that may relate to what you're going to implement for your telepathology system. So are you already doing a lot of digital imaging or doing a lot of film-based photography to support conferences? One of the big mistakes that I've seen people make over and over again is they really don't know why they want to do telepathology. They want to do it because they want to boldly go where no one has gone before. Okay, that's a good thing. But at least know that that is what you are doing. You are pushing your own envelope. I think it's important to understand specifically what you're going to use your telepathology application for. How often are you going to use it? Make people use it. How broad or specified is your view of telepathology? Is telepathology image-enhanced reporting, or is telepathology only primary diagnosis using robotic microscopy? If you take a broad view, you can accomplish many activities with a telepathology and imaging system and therefore improve your effectiveness for the amount of money that you've rolled out into your system. And again, I believe utilization here is key. Number four, choose the most effective imaging platform to meet your needs. And I believe one of the things that you can do here is try to marry your telepathology to your other pathology imaging initiatives. The more bang for the buck, the better. Ultimately, you may find yourself having to use multiple systems, and of course, if you have multiple systems, you need to get them to all talk together, you need to use, all together now, middleware. Implement effectively. Know your pathologists. Are your pathologists accepting of digital imaging? Are they at the beginning? Are they at the end? Are they early adopters? Are they late bloomers? Create a common platform. try to create a way that all users interact with the telepathology system in a similar fashion. Implement for efficiency. Use barcodes. Try to integrate with your LIS if that's part of your desire. And don't forget support and training. This is probably the most difficult aspect of digital imaging and telepathology systems, is to really train people to use them effectively and to have them become comfortable with the system so that they use them. So one of the things I tried to do here was to create just a little grid that looked at the four different types of telepathology technologies that I've outlined, and to rate them based on how effective they are for the particular solutions that you're trying to apply. And interesting, the y-axis is also increasing cost from static imaging to virtual microscopy. The key point being that if you're interested in using providing conferences and education, you don't need to buy a virtual microscope. You can do very well with low-cost static imaging. The same is true with image-enhanced reporting. However, if you really want to do primary diagnosis, consultative diagnosis, online QA review, you probably have to look at something at least at the level of robotic microscopy. And when it's more effective for us to use them and implement them widely, I think that there's no doubt that virtual microscopy is the route that you want to take. So what is our approach, Bennett Henry Ford? Well, first of all, our business is that we are an academic medical center. We have 4 hospitals, 26 clinics. We have a wide geographic dispersion of our centers. We have an education, service, and research mission, like most academic medical centers have. We have a lot of interest in digital imaging and telepathology. However, we had late adopters. When I arrived at Henry Ford Health System 3 years ago, the pathologists were still using terminals in their offices. We did not have PCs widely implemented. So it was not likely that these folks were early adopters of telepathology. The current costs of imaging-related activities. We do somewhere on the order of 200,000 anatomic pathology specimens, 50,000 surgicals, somewhere on the order of 100 to 150,000 cytologies. And so we were spending a fair amount of time and effort with photo documentation of those specimens, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. And interestingly, some of this is hard to get at because folks who are making those PowerPoints are paying for them out of their PDAs. So they're not coming out of the budget of the department. And so it's difficult to get your arms around how much it was costing folks to produce the digital imaging requirements that they were trying to do. But that said, I know if we walk downstairs to the medical education department, $3 to $6 for a PowerPoint slide. Take a pathologist with 100 slides, you've got a $600 presentation right there. Doesn't take a lot of $600 presentations to pay for your telepathology system. We were spending a lot of time on these activities as well. We have a significant amount of time and inconvenience due to travel between our sites. And we also have a lot of wait time. That transplant always comes at 7:30 at night when you're just about getting ready to go home. Couldn't you go home and look at it via the telepathology system? So we realized that our need for telepathology was somewhat unique. We really had an intra-institutional need for telepathology. We weren't looking to support consultations across the Atlantic Ocean. We were really trying to support consultations between the 6th floor and the 4th floor, or Detroit and West Bloomfield. We wanted to support our clinical conferences more efficiently. We wanted to give the pathologist the ability to review night and evening frozen sections, support the resident, but not necessarily have to drive an hour to come back into Detroit and drive back home. And these are the types of time frames that we're dealing with. Many of our pathologists live 45 minutes to an hour away from our primary site of practice. We wanted to provide consultative support for the pathologists in our 3 other hospitals where we have pathology practices. Right now, they practice solo. We also wanted to triage and provide photo documentation of gross specimens. When that biopsy comes in and the resident's about to gross it up, we want them to be able to display that specimen to the pathologist upstairs without creating this whole interruptive cycle. Come on, break off from your microscope, walk downstairs, look at the specimen, show me where to cut and where to go. And so we're using telepathology to support this. And also, and an interesting sort of a caveat for us is that we are not an electronic orders-based system. We have an excellent electronic medical record, but we do not have electronic orders. So we get all these paper-based requisitions. And you know what happens to the paper-based requisitions? When you need it, it disappears. So we realized that by selecting a system, we wanted to hit as many of these areas as possible with the fewest numbers of systems that we needed to implement. We implemented a digital scanning system to scan our requisitions, and this came from the Scantron Corporation, scanner that does about 60 requisitions in about a minute. So we can scan all of our telepathology requisitions for a day in about 3 minutes. We implemented 7 gross workstations using the Canon G6 consumer-grade camera. It's a beautiful camera. It works very well. We used 2 digital imaging workstations that are full-featured, including microscopes with Olympus DP70s, 35-millimeter slide scanners, and flatbed scanners. We're using a trestle med microscopy solution in our gross room, and that also includes a live dynamic gross station, which is basically a camera mounted to what looks like an overhead projector, and you can put your gross specimen under there in real time, display this to the pathologist. We realized we needed some sort of middleware. We needed an image management software solution, and we actually chose a very inexpensive solution by a company called Sirius Software called Thumbs Plus Professional. We use an image file server based on Microsoft SQL, and we ultimately integrate our images into MISIS CoPath. So how does this work? We scan our tag, and the first thing that happens when we scan our tag is we create a folder based upon the case number which is attached to that tag when it was accessioned into the CoPath system. By scanning the tag, a folder is created on the image server with the case file, and an image of the tag is reposited into that case folder. It's automatically named and created and uses the accession number. This makes it very easy to find the folder, and this is all based on barcodes. Users acquire images then using the Thumbs Plus system, which has a Twain interface to all of the different imaging devices that we have available. The Canon G6s, the DP70s, and the Trestle system are all able to acquire images using a Twain interface. And then ultimately, the Thumbs Plus system is also a way to display the images. So this is a common user interface for collecting and displaying our digital images, and it's one way, there's only one interface that the users use to go and run all their cameras and to take telepathology images. Thumbs Plus also allows you to keyword. It allows you to edit the images and annotate them, and then it allows us to process the images to make sure that they're the appropriate file size, so forth and so on. With our dynamic systems, we use the med microscopy system, which interestingly comes with a web client that is freely available, and you can install it in any workstation. So we have put this around wherever we can, and what that means is that a surgeon can jump on and he can look at the telemicroscope as well as I can. This is a web client-based system secured with VPN for extranet access. So if you're at home, you go into the VPN, you fire up your web client, and you can drive the microscope from 60 miles away. We use the gross system to triage cases remotely and to communicate with surgeons, and primarily for frozen section diagnosis for our transplant cases that always happen in odd hours. So to get down to the sort of the dirty laundry and to wrap up here, our utilization has really been pretty good. For the static imaging system, we have about 35,000 images that we've acquired over the last 2 years. These are currently supporting our clinical conferences and distributing our requisitions. And we're just beginning to help the pathologist to integrate these images into the CoPath report. This is really a slam dunk once you've got the images stored somewhere on the network. The med microscopy system, to date, we've done approximately 350 cases, so this is much less utilized. But interestingly, we have had no problems with discordance or user dissatisfaction with that system. We mainly use it on nights and weekends. And I've tried to increase the daytime use, but users are just starting to grasp how they can apply the system. When I describe to someone, why don't you show the surgeon in the operating room the frozen section that you're looking at? It was like, wow, I could do that. The key is, however, that these systems are being used and they have become integral to the way we are practicing. If the systems are down, if the microscopy system is off, someone is on my cell phone. Technology has not been a barrier. And ultimately, I think what we're finding is that the user acceptance has really increased, particularly with the static imaging. And I don't think that there has been a film-based image taken in our department in 2 years. Costs, here we go, the bottom line. About $125,000 is what we've laid out. And after 3 years, that's approximately what we would have been spending on film-based imaging to date. This does not include improved effort, improved efficiency, and our improved service model. We expect somewhere on the order of a 3 to 5 year lifespan, and in considering we're at 3 years and things are looking pretty good, I expect we're going to get the next two very easily. So, my conclusions. Telepathology is effective. I hold this to be a self-evident truth. Costs for telepathology are decreasing. Implementation is key. Make sure you implement for efficiency. Utilization improves when effective technologies are well implemented. Duh. Match the technology to your need. Don't buy an aircraft carrier if all you need is a rowboat. Match the technology, consult the literature. And interestingly, in preparing for this talk, especially after my wife's comment, I went out and I looked very hard at the literature. I found 300 primary articles related to telepathology in the literature. This was only looking through PubMed. So there is an excellent literature out there that you could all access. There was one major review of telemedicine, and in that review, telepathology really came out intermediary. The only technology that they validated, and this was in 2001, was teleradiology. But I think with the changes in technology, telepathology is rapidly going to catch up. And then I promised to post a selected bibliography of about 20 references for you attached to this presentation. If Bruce will let me do that, it will look much better in a Word document. We'll be able to bring that down. You'll be able to print it off, and this will help you as you look to implement telepathology in your areas. A couple of key books, Crossing the Chasm, Jeffrey Moore, User Adoption of Technology, Cotter's book on Leading Change. Change is what telepathology and digital imaging forces you to bring to your users. And I found both of these books indispensable, more than anything, in making peace with my own raging mind as I'm trying to get folks to accept this technology. Don't forget that you always underestimate the amount of effort you have to put into change. Two excellent presentations that are out there online, and I provide the URLs for you, a presentation by Dr. Belice and a presentation by Dr. Beesich that were presented in the British Columbia Telepathology Forum. Go check these out. They're online. They are excellent. The CAP Today survey has a lot of tremendous caveats about telepathology and digital imaging in general, and more interestingly were the comments that Bruce recently posted on his blog. And this really gives you the substance of how pathologists are feeling about telepathology. So go take a look at these references. And again, I'll try to provide you with a more selected bibliography. And that brings me to the end. On time?